It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. I noticed your Astros-themed blazer.
Yes, it's not a blazer. It is, in fact, a cardigan.
Cardigan, whatever.
Very different in character from a blazer, which, I mean, I guess the fact... explains a lot about your life.
This is radio, and so I wanted to create the image of you wearing a blazer themed to the Houston Astros.
Yes, I am wearing a sweater that, in fact, does look a lot like an old Astros jersey, but not intentionally, but I like it now that I know that.
Well,
I like it more.
Because we couldn't find anybody else, we asked all around, we asked all the other Cup 4 writers, we asked some random people in Chelsea Market. No one would do it, so we had to settle on Ian K's back again.
Well, I'm back.
Yeah.
Still lovely and talented.
Yes. Still lovely and talented.
You're still lovely.
Professional.
Oh, rude.
Wow. Well, hey, Ian.
Mm-hmm.
We're recording this on Monday, and there's no baseball today, which is weird. Isn't that weird?
It's really weird.
I feel like that means something is happening. Am I crazy?
Not crazy because of that.
Okay. Well, is there anything maybe in the near future that you might be looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to a lot of things. It's fall.
That's nice.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Pumpkins and stuff.
Yeah, the pumpkin spice latte.
What else am I looking forward to? The 1 year pre-anniversary of the presidential election is coming up.
Okay.
Do you celebrate that? You're like, oh man, the president was elected like any space between 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
I don't know what you call it.
You have a party. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, you map your route to the voting booth.
Old CNN tapes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like the idea of mapping your route to the voting booth.
Yes.
That's good. Anything else maybe that you're looking forward to next couple weeks?
I think they're doing that postseason thing again. The baseball.
What is that? Not familiar.
The baseball is doing the teams for the title, the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of vaguely.
Yeah, okay.
Out there.
Yeah. The Expos, they're involved, I think.
Maybe.
That sounds right.
There's a Canada team somewhere in there.
Okay. Seattle Pilots, I think they're playing as well.
I don't know if they made it.
I'm not sure. We'll double check on that. The St. Louis Browns. I think they're in. Yeah. But no, for real, it's the postseason. Like, legit, by the time you listen to this podcast, the postseason may actually be happening. You might be listening to this while you're watching the AL Wild Card
In which case,
game
you need to
reason.
Turn on the sound for that game. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, why are you listening to us? Watch the AL Wild Card game. It's so much more exciting.
Remix it over the AL Wild Card
game. Yeah, or do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can put them all together. But we've got a lot to talk about today related to the postseason. We're going to reflect a little bit on the 2015 season, mm-hmm. talk about some of our favorite moments. We'll look forward to the postseason, talk about what some of our favorite things about the postseason in general is, and we'll see what's going to have the biggest effect on the outcome of the season. Maybe things that are not players and managers, but some off-the-field things. Perhaps we will discuss that. But before we get into all of that, that's right. It is time. For the Cut Forecast pop quiz. We do this every week where I create a bunch of questions to attempt to embarrass Ian and Gemma. Usually they don't actually involve a lot of like hardcore baseball knowledge.
Thank goodness.
And they still manage to embarrass themselves nonetheless.
They're usually not even questions.
It's it's just sing demands. A song. Like weird, aggressive demands.
Yes, they are. It's true. Mostly weird, aggressive demands. This one is related to the postseason.
Okay, that's good.
There are 10 teams in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know all of them. You guys work for
them. I really thought it was going to be named the 10.
I know. It would have been so nice.
Instead, we're going to name each of the 10, and you're going to give me the year that they last appeared in the postseason. Does that make sense? So I'll give you the first one because this is easy. The Royals, they last appeared in the postseason when?
Last year.
In 2014. That's right. So we'll go one by one. Gem, we'll start with you since you're wearing the Astros-themed not blazer cardigan. We'll go one by one. We'll start with the AL, and I'll name the team. You guys tell me when the last time they were in the postseason.
Great.
All right, so the Astros.
1995?
No.
Really?
No. You're way off.
Oh, no, I'm way off. I just decided to forget about an entire decade.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's 2005.
Yeah. 2005. I knew it was a decade. I don't know why I decided it was 2005 right now.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah, I was like, no, it was
chaos.
10,
really
no, what
good.
I thought was it was 10 years ago in 1995.
Well,
to be fair, I still do math like that. Yes, the 90s feel like they were exactly. about 10 years ago.
All right. Yeah. Ian, the New York Yankees.
The Yankees were 2011.
2012.
Yeah, 2012.
Oh, it was 3 years. Yep. Okay, I was thinking three.
Off to a great start.
I know. This was close. Neither one of us can do math at all.
Yeah, you were closer than Gemma.
That's
true. I will grant
that's
you
true.
That. But since you're the ostensible team you grew up rooting for, I will give you, we're going to deduct that extra credit that you got.
I had already achieved full neutrality, full objectivity by 2012.
Oh, yeah, you've reached another level.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Gemma, the Texas Rangers.
2006?
No. 2012.
Oh, I forgot about that entirely.
Yeah, there was that like 3-4 year span where they were like really.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. All right, we did the Royals. Ian, the Toronto Blue Jays. This has been a big narrative. You should get this.
Yeah,
one.
It's
1994.
1993. Oh. 93.
That's okay. A tough one. All right, we'll move into the National.
Been right in the range.
Yeah. All right.
I'm just doing a terrible job.
With 0-4. Sorry. All right, moving into the National League. The New York Metropolitans.
2002? No, that's not right.
No. 2006.
Okay.
All right, here we go. This run, you guys got these. St. Louis Cardinals.
Last year.
Yes.
Yes.
Los that Angeles one. Dodgers.
Last year.
Pittsburgh Pirates.
Last year.
All right. Chicago Cubs. Whoever wants to answer this one, we'll give it to both of you.
Oh. I just looked this up.
Like, is 2006, 2005?
No. Ian?
2002?
No. 2008.
Really?
Yeah.
They
got swept.
I have zero concept of time.
So that it was
just
tough.
None.
They got swept in the DS. But yeah, 2008. So zeros
we did
across
great.
The board.
Good job.
You guys were able to get
that's
the Cardinals.
Not, we got
five.
Three.
We did get three, all right?
So
we hit 300 in that extra.
That's true, which means you're headed for the Hall of Fame problem.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what that means. This is baseball. So that was a disaster.
It was. It was very embarrassing.
I get to go last.
Nobody's going to listen to anything that gets said on the rest of this podcast.
No, it's true.
That's true. They'll have tuned out by now. So we can talk about whatever.
These people have never even seen a baseball game.
In all honesty, that's a hard question. My recall on that stuff is really bad. I would not have done any better than you. So I can do the Alex Trebek thing and be like, no, it was 2008. But I would have done horribly as well. All right, let's move into our first question here. And it is this. The 2015 season is now complete. The regular season is now complete. If you're a fan of the 20 teams that did not make the postseason, that's it. It's done. As a Red Sox fan, that's it. No more Red Sox baseball till next year. Same with Tigers.
Yeah.
But there's obviously this thrilling postseason, but we'll get to that. For now, we're going to look back on the 2015 season and talk about the things that we'll remember most. Like what, when we're looking back on the 2015 season, will we remember? What is the big storyline? Ian, why don't we start with you? What's like the one thing you'll remember most when I say in 20 years, remember when we were ready for Cup 4?
I won't even know what you mean. You'll be like 20 years ago and I'll be like 1985.
Yeah, you guys won't be able to name any of the teams that are in the postseason this year. So what regular season thing will you remember?
So I think 2015 will always be, for me at least, the year of Bryce Harper's breakout. Yeah. I think that's mm-hmm. kind of it. Like, maybe that's the chalk answer there, but, you know, when all's said and done in 20 years from now, and you're, like, running the crazy numbers, all of those years are going to, like, start. It's like, starting with 2015, you know, over 10 years, Harper hit 500 home runs, whatever it is. Like, all those stats are going to start in 2015, and the narrative of his career will always be, like, he was this huge prospect, and then he came up, and he had a couple seasons where, like, he showed flashes of promise, but he never really put it all together, and there were some injuries and stuff involved, and then, like, 2015, he finally made it, and then was the best player in the league, or one of the best couple players in the league for the next, you know, 6, 8, 12, 15 years, however long it is. Or, you know, maybe he doesn't, and this is just a...
Yeah.
the year that showed what could have been. But I think this will always be the year that he kind of put everything together, total package.
Yeah. I had that down as well.
Definitely.
What's interesting about it, too, for me is that, like, I feel like we're in the age now with, like, the internet where you can read so much about prospects all the time. And if you're a fan of the game, you're a fan of all these prospects. And so Bryce Harper was, you know, famous when he was still in high school. And, like, he was just sort of this, like, prized thing. And it was impressive that the Nationals were able to, like, secure him. And they also had Strasburg. And so it's funny, first of all, to see how their careers have kind of diverged from that, like, elite top prospect status. And it's also cool to see somebody who was that hyped actually live up to the hype.
Yeah.
And so I agree that that's part of why, you know, I'll always think about it, is that it's rare in sports that somebody will actually meet your expectations of them, and especially at such a young age. So it's very cool. And I think it's interesting that you're pessimistic and think he'll only hit 500 home runs. I think that's interesting. Maybe 600, 700, 800 home runs, probably more along the lines of what I would think.
Yeah.
900 even.
You gotta temper your expectations.
Yeah, I'm trying to be realistic with 800, 900. But yeah, you know, I get where you might say, oh, 500 at least, you know.
No, I like how you guys are also both saying is like, oh, this is like, you're already looking back at it through this nostalgic lens.
Right.
Like, ah, oh, the days of young Bryce Harper.
22 right now?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah.
It is crazy. I mean, he's been famous since he was 16.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it also, Miguel Sano is another player that was like that. Just happened to stumble upon, like, some old, like, top prospect lists. And I think he signed as a 16-year-old and was already making top 100 lists that year. Yeah. And that was, like, 6 years ago.
I think he was 14. I could be wrong.
Maybe he was that. Yeah. You know, maybe it was, like, even younger than that. But, like, it's been 6 years that it seems like he should have already been a bust or something by now just because of the time. But, like, he actually just totally lived up to it at every stage and will probably continue to.
Well, that's the other thing that's fun is that, like, specifically with Harper, also with a lot of the rookies, which we'll get to in a little bit, but, like, this is the part of their career that's the most exciting. We're like, Bryce Harper right now, MVP candidate, presumptive MVP, and, like, the world is his oyster, and we can right now sit here and be like, yeah, you know, he'll hit 500, 600 home runs.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't have to worry about the, well, he never won a ring, or, you know, well, the window is closing, and all that kind of stuff, or now he has to live up to this massive contract. Like, he's still in the point of his career where it just, anything is possible, and he could do literally anything. He could do this for 10 years, he could peak for 3 years, and it's like, so you get to kind of imagine all of that, and that's part, I think, where the nostalgia stuff comes from, mm-hmm. is that it's fun to sort of try to think about what we'll look back on, and how that path will diverge. And it's the most exciting part for a young player is when they hit this peak and they're able to just be like, anything is possible.
I think baseball also, like, because of, you know, there's 162 games in a season and guys play for a long time, you can kind of overlook that greatness. Like, you know, there was a period of like 8 years, whatever, Albert Pujols was like just better than anyone else.
Yeah.
But I don't have a ton of, like, specific regular season memories from that time, you know? So, yeah. Like, now everything Harper does, because we just haven't seen it for that long, is so much cooler before you get into the period where it's just like, oh, yeah, like, he's assumed the best player in baseball. Like, you don't really have to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Gemma, what do you think? What is your number one thing you'll remember from 2015?
I had a lot of things that I thought about. I mean, Bryce Harper is definitely on my list, but kind of in context with a lot of just youthful players making a lot of headlines this season. People say it's the year of the prospect, or variously the year of the pitcher, whatever. Both were really strong narratives. So I thought for a while about just like guys getting called up, like Miguel Sano, who it was kind of surprising that the Twins decided that they were going to bring him up this year, this early. And he just totally delivered. And that's really been happening with a lot of other teams as well, like the Cubs most notably. And I think that's just really fun, mostly because the best part of any story is the beginning, when you can still imagine the entire, like, you can make up your own endings, basically.
Yeah.
Until, like, life and history proves you wrong. So that's really exciting. It's really exciting to see all of these guys beginning their journeys like that. But I decided to go with, the thing that is going to stick out the most for me in 2015, I think, is going to be the ascendancy of the Blue Jays. Maybe it's just because my Twitter feed is, like, full of Blue Jays fans. I'm not really sure what that's about.
Because you're an honorary Canadian.
Because I am an honorary Canadian, because I've expressed very frequently how much I would like to be Canadian. But just because, you know, they were having so much fun in the spring at the beginning of the season, and there was all this chatter, like, they score so many runs, but they just can't seem to put together a lot of wins, you know? And that sudden flip that happened right after the All-Star break when they picked up David Price around the trade deadline. It's just been, from then on, a story of a team enjoying themselves so much. And it's nice to see a team that you don't normally see getting a lot of attention, getting a lot of attention, which is another reason I think that it's going to be so sticky for me in the year 2015, is the year that the Blue Jays were just in headlines more than I've ever seen the Blue Jays in headlines before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, too, though, like between 2014 and 2015, you have these two teams that had the two longest postseason droughts, the Royals and the Blue Jays. They both are able to shed those droughts in consecutive years and do so really loudly. Like, the Royals did it by sweeping their way to the World Series and losing, but they didn't lose a game until they got there. And the Blue Jays did it by just absolutely annihilating everybody else.
Right, which is a power that they had, but they just couldn't seem to get through it with pitching. And then all of a sudden, like, a switch flipped, and you're hearing about it all the time, and everyone wants to talk about Josh Donaldson. It's fun.
It's true.
It's fun.
And they're super fun. They're super charismatic. They're super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. David Price is a good time. Marcus Stroman is a good time.
He came back. So that's the story. Joey Bats.
Joey Bats, fantastic time. Mm-hmm. Just a good time up in the team, is what we're trying to say. I also thought about the rookies, because there's so many players this year who came up and who, you know, the odds are we will in 10, 15 years be like, remember so-and-so's rookie year, like, you know, Chris Bryant and Correa and all these guys. And so, like, the fact that there were just so many of them that came up and were able to contribute pretty quickly is impressive, because that's often not the case. But then I thought more, and I realized that, like, personally, one of the things that I love is pitching, and one of the people that I love is Clayton Kershaw. And just the Clayton Kershaw versus Zach Greinke thing that happened this year is unbelievable. And the fact that both of them put up, like, surefire Cy Young, like any other year, they would waltz to the Cy Young. And the fact that they compete with each other and they're on the same team is astounding. And what they are both able to do with Greinke's insanely low ERA, with Kershaw topping 300 strikeouts, which is absurd to think about in 2015, that's what I'll think about. It's just like how good both of those guys are. And the fact that they're on the same team is so crazy to think about. Like, you think about, you know, those 90s Braves teams, and it's like, oh, we'll never see anything like that again. Well, we're seeing two of the most dominant pitchers of our current generation. They're on the same team. That's so cool.
I mean, there's a good chance neither of them are going to win that Cy Young either.
That's true.
There's a chance neither of them will win. It's unbelievable. Pitching is so cool. I love pitching. Whenever I play, like, the video games, my create my own player, always pitcher.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was always an infielder.
Really?
Yeah.
Anywhere in the infield specifically?
Middle infield. Yeah. Either of those.
Okay. Well, let's move into this next thing. Now that we're done looking back, let's look forward. Enough with the past, Gemma.
Yes, that was my idea to discuss Dakota. So
let us stop living in the past. What is your favorite thing about the postseason? So, you know, the postseason's around the bend, the corner, however you want to put it. Mm-hmm. I'll say both, the borner.
That's a terrible portmanteau. I think you should retire that one. Yeah.
But it was an accidental one. But, you know, we're talking about how excited we are for the postseason. Why? Gemma, why are you so excited for the postseason? It's just a month of baseball. Why isn't any different?
I mean, that's so great. It's because in your regular season, right, you watch for people, you tend to watch for, like, individual statistics in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
How much someone can accumulate, like, how good they are over time, that's really fun in its own way. But the postseason is a lot more, like, suddenly all of these games, like, it always matters when you win or lose a game, but suddenly it's like you will see the results within the week, not within the 5 months.
Yeah.
You know? So that's really fun. But I'm so excited just because I love watching games with other people, and during the postseason, you're all watching the same game.
Yeah.
So it's just one big group of people talking about it, tweeting about it, hanging out in bars about it, whatever, but you're focused on the same thing. You have the same energy directed at it. It's kind of also like why I like watching soccer in big groups, because it's just a fun community to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It certainly is the... October's the month where, like, baseball takes center stage.
Yeah, and everyone's talking about it. Everyone's focused on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think one of the fun things about the regular season is that it's not that way, is that it's just sort of in the background of your life, and it's always there where you want it and when you want it. You can listen on the radio while you're working at, you know, through MLB.tv. You can go home. You can watch the national games. Like, it's all there, and it's just sort of it serves as, like, the landscape behind which your life is happening. And so that's... what I like about the regular season. I think you're right that mm-hmm. what's cool about the postseason is that all of that doesn't matter. Now it's like, all right, everybody, let's gather around. Let's watch all this crazy yeah. stuff happen that we're going to talk about for the next 6 months.
And I like that it's just packed really tightly together, you
yeah.
know? Because then you have all this time to build up your appreciation and develop your loyalties or whatever, like years or whatever, however you get into it. And then all of a sudden, it's just this tight, tight focus. And then you get like a little breather and then you come back, yeah. you know?
Although, like Ian said, it would be better if it was just back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah, no one could ever have just breathers. Just yeah. never sleep
it. 1 month is fine. It'd be better if we got it all out of the way.
1 week.
Just continuous.
And you just buy one ticket and you stay up and they provide you with like little meals.
Exactly.
Yes.
Plain meals.
Yeah,
that's gross. Great. You know, when I think about going to the baseball stadium, what I think is I want it to be more like flying. I think you're right. It's a really good point.
Yeah.
Ian, what are you most excited for with the postseason? What's your favorite thing about it?
So there's like this thing that happens every postseason when like the celebrity fans kind of come out of the woodwork.
Yes.
And like it's always one of my favorite things because you find out which celebrities are like real fans of teams
mm-hmm.
and who's just kind of like posing because they want to be a part of it, which is also fine. But like, you know, the last couple of years we've seen, you know, Jeff Daniels, the Tigers, or someone like Paul Rudd with the Royals, yeah. where like mm-hmm. it may have been out there, they were like kind of fans, you kind of associated them. But then you see, like, the way that they talk about it or tweet about it or, you know, you see them speaking, and it's like, okay, these people are real fans. Like, Paul Rudd really cares.
Yeah. He really does.
Jeff Daniels, like, watching every game and tweeting it out to everyone. Like, that's cool because it's kind of a little window into these people's lives that, like, you can relate to and something you wouldn't have known otherwise that you kind of only find out during the postseason.
Yeah.
So that's always something I'm looking forward to, you know, especially the few teams in it this year that haven't been in it recently, we'll kind of find out like who those fans are, you know, with those teams.
Totally.
And also Drake will find out who he's really a fan of.
Will
he's
we?
Cheer for everyone.
Will we?
Well, the Astros and the Blue Jays
are both in it.
And the Rangers, wasn't he also a Rangers fan?
Was he?
My gut Maybe. Instinct on this is that we will find out about an hour after the final out of the World Series. Who his favorite team is. I think we'll know then. And then they'll ask him and he'll say, I've always been a fan.
Doesn't he have an Astros tattoo?
Okay, but when has that ever stopped Drake from being a bandwagon?
But then can't you can't have someone be like, oh no, this is just like a star with an H in it. It's a coincidence.
because he can be like, oh no, I just like Houston.
Yeah, I guess you could brush it off like that, but that's lame.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm just saying.
Well, who is your favorite celebrity fan, Ian and Dakota?
My favorite celebrity fan.
That's a tough.
Wow,
one.
That is a tough question.
We were looking at John Cusack's Twitter the other day because he is a Cubs fan and he's like got this very ridiculous Twitter where he uses plus signs instead of spaces. Wow. It's very weird.
That's unhelpful.
That's
dramatically unhelpful.
But he's really, really into the Cubs. Like he's been aggressively tweeting Cubs scores and reactions for this past couple weeks. So I'm excited to see him come out. That'll be interesting.
That's tough.
Bill Murray, he'll be around.
Yeah, Bill Murray is a good choice.
Great. Yeah.
I hope he's still just sitting in the stands like he usually
yeah.
does.
Yeah. I'm sure. That's his way.
Mm-hmm.
See, I could pick the parade of obnoxious Red Sox fans. I'm not going to do that. Because as one of them, I am not.
Are
going
you
to
a
name.
Celebrity fan?
No, but as a. No, no. No, Jeff.
Well, I mean, I know
not.
The podcast is getting big, but
didn't they hear
yeah. me? No, but they're all there and available for me to choose. The Marky Marks of the world.
Yep.
But no. John Hamm's a good celebrity fan.
That is a good
That dude fan. Loves the Cardinals. He Andy really Cohen also loves the Cardinals.
He does.
Those are good choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I agree. It's cool. Like, the Paul Rudd thing was interesting, too, last year. Because he, like, legit was a Royals fan and was really happy to commune with other Royals fans.
Yes.
Like, I thought that was really cool. My favorite thing about the postseason, and totally agree with everything that you guys have said, I also am just somebody who generally likes cold weather. And so I like... cold weather baseball. I think that's really cool. And not the beginning of the year cold weather baseball. That's fine and fun and everything. But like end of the year cold weather, it adds like drama to it. And it adds just the fact that you see everybody in coats and everybody's kind of like shaking. And I love that. And it's El Nino this year, so
what
who knows
wrong
what that
with
will
you?
Do.
Dakota just picked the worst thing about October
you
and then
did.
Made it his
you
favorite
were like,
pick.
No. You were like, a weather disaster is coming.
Okay, El Nino.
Everyone's shaking because they're so cold and unhappy.
That adds
and
electricity.
I love seeing people being cold and upset, is
no,
what you
being
said.
Being cold adds electricity to the ballpark.
I think it just adds like water vapor.
Yes, but then it creates like fog, which is even more dramatic.
And then
dramatic lighting.
That October baseball, cold baseball is better. I am telling you, just as a fact.
Baseball is my favorite sport because it is the summer game.
No. The summer is overrated.
I hope we have like a Dodgers Astros World Series.
Yes.
Like 80 degrees the whole time.
Just no October cold baseball.
This is the other thing about El Nino, is that we are in an El Nino year, and it's this segment is dedicated to Mike Trout. And the Northeast and the typically cold climates are slightly warmer, and the typically warm climates are slightly colder. So essentially, you will have just a more temperate postseason.
So remember Postseason Island that we made up last time?
I do remember Postseason Island.
Where would that ideally be located for you? Well, like off the coast of Alaska? Like where would it be?
Maybe. Look, you know, like
between
winter...
Chile and Antarctica.
Yeah, it would be in the, what's that called?
Like the
Azores?
Bering Strait. Like
one of those. No, Bering Strait is
that the Alaska one?
Yeah, that's the Alaska one.
You know,
Patagonia.
I'm here to represent fall and winter, okay? That's why I'm here. They're underrepresented seasons.
That is not true.
It is completely true.
I'm pretty sure fall is like everyone's. That's like the most basic physics favorite season you can have.
Winter is actually my favorite season.
That's the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
Dakota's the only person who likes the pumpkin spice latte.
He is. It's true.
I told you about when I got shamed at Starbucks for getting a pumpkin spice latte. By all
it's
of the
not cool anymore.
There.
Pumpkin spice lattes
really?
Are not cool anymore.
Wow.
Apparently they're not cool. I ordered one and they were like pumpkin spice
should
latte.
Should pumpkin spice lattes be served during the postseason? A dedicated kiosk for just pumpkin flavored
postseason
things.
Spice
why
latte?
Not?
Postseason spice latte.
So that's a good
Let's
hashtag.
Let's market it.
There you go. Okay. That cold weather baseball, my favorite thing about the postseason.
So we picked really awesome things and you picked the worst thing. So that's cool.
I was going to say late nights with lots of baseball, everybody watching baseball, but no. The cold. That's what I'm saying. I like that it's cold.
Anytime
and that everything...
you can take a fun thing to do outside and make it a lot less comfortable.
That's always.
You know, I don't need to hear from the haters. What does Ms. Swift say? The haters going to hate? That's what you guys are doing. You guys are the Taylor Swift.
Taylor performs every single night in like a crop top. I don't think she's into the cold.
Fair point. All right, let's move on here to our last topic. This was... I don't really know why we thought of this, frankly, but we did. It popped into our minds, and I think it's an important question that we have to address here on the Cut Forecast, because I think it's the kind of thing that we, I feel like, are the closest to experts in that we really could be, because we're definitely not experts
in anything.
Nope.
No, not in anything.
Which non-player entity, so no players, no managers, no one who actually directly has an impact on the game, which non-player entity will have the biggest effect on the outcome of the postseason? So maybe the cold weather, like I'm talking about, maybe the fans, maybe the mascots, maybe the shape of the stadium. What non-player thing is going to affect the games the most? Ian, what do you think?
I'd like to nominate Rogers Center.
Yes, okay. That's on my list too.
Also known as Rogers Centre. I'm reading it.
I believe that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's a dome, and that means you go from like playing a lot of outdoor games, playing in this weird, almost like alien environment, mm-hmm. where everything is like temperature controlled, and the air feels kind of like a casino. I've never actually been to Rogers Center, by the way. Like other domes, though, can feel that way.
Okay.
Everything's like temperature controlled, and the surface is really weird. Like you get these weird hops and stuff, and it just looks different. Mm-hmm. Like if you're watching on TV, it looks different from any other game that's going on. And I just think it's kind of cool that, you know, it's just a different environment. I think that'll have an effect one way or another.
Yeah, definitely.
Gets loud in there.
Yeah,
that's
gets real loud.
And Toronto fans do, like, postseason well. That's
yes.
like a thing that they do. So they're going to show up. That's a good call. Gemma, what do you got?
Well, I was thinking about Rogers Center as well, and that eventually did take me to just fans in general, because Blue Jays fans have been really showing up for the last part of the season. Like, they've been everywhere, all over the country. It's basically like Blue Jays home games for all of September, no matter where they play. Mm-hmm. They just get so many people out there. And Toronto is, like, not close, you know? It's not easy to do that, to get these entire contingents of people out there. And, I mean, the Pirates do postseason really well. They're fans. They get really into it. I just feel like there's a degree of pressure. Like, obviously... This is what I'm about to say is a reason that I could never succeed in professional sports, besides the fact that I'm completely unathletic and, you know, washed out of any sport by the time I was, like, 9 years old. So, It's because if fans are so excited, I feel like there's this pressure to not let them down, no matter what team you're playing for, you know? So if you're playing to a home crowd, like a home Pittsburgh crowd, and you're the Cubs, there's this pressure in the air that's like, am I going to really, like, ruin all these people's day? Obviously, you develop, you know, this athletic... I would be like, oh, no, I can't. I'm too nice. I'm too polite.
You're too nice.
I'm sure that a lot of athletes don't actually think that, you know, but there is something to be said for being intimidated by fans who just are really aggressively supporting the home team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that a lot of players do talk about that. Like, I think Ortiz mentioned that in one of his many Players Tribune pieces. Where, like, one of his favorite things to do is to silence the fans in the opposing stadium.
Yeah, and, like, if you're David Ortiz, you develop the other instinct from mine, which is, like, none of this. I have none of this.
Was it Johnny Cueto a couple years ago?
Yeah, that's actually, that was going to be mine, was, well, one of mine was the fans in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Because
those
fans show up. They fill the ballpark. It was 2 years ago, I think, in the wild card game against the Reds,
right,
where Cueto was on the mound, and the crowd just started chanting, Cueto, and they totally got in his head, and he dropped the ball on the mound, and that just, like, that was like they were sharks, and they were there when he did that. And so the Pittsburgh fans and the Chicago fans are the two sort of fan bases that I'm thinking are really going to actually, like, affect the on-field play. Those stadiums are very tight and very intimate. And the fans are, you know, especially Pirates fans, we know are rabid. Cubs fans, those people are going to be crazy. The bleachers are going to be nuts. And you're right up on the players. So those fans absolutely are going to have an effect. I also wrote El Nino, which I do not have.
You need to get over El Nino.
It's true.
Do you remember that that guy, that Houston guy, the mattress salesman guy? He did this whole promotion where he was like, last year, he's like, if the Astros win more than this number of games, I will give you back all the money that you have spent on my furniture, on my mattresses. I wonder if that guy did anything this year. I wonder if, like, just the sheer determination to get their money back for their furniture was
Didn't he go broke last year because he won too many games?
He does this all the time, though, because they did win, like, more than his limit. So I wonder if he's like, if the Astros make the postseason, and he just does it every time, and it's this incentive for the Astros to just go all the way.
It's certainly possible.
Yeah.
Bankrupt this local business. No, series.
I also had Orbit down. I think Orbit will have maybe the biggest impact of anyone on the postseason series. Noted prankster, extraterrestrial, and so likely will be able to manipulate the laws of physics to help the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is logical. I've thought this through.
Is at Orbit the cause of El Nino?
You know, I didn't even put two and two together. That's a really good point. It's entirely possible. We need to get Mike Trout on the podcast, noted meteorologist.
Meteorologist.
I don't even know. I was going to say, like, meteorology enthusiast, Mike Trout, on to help explain El Nino to me, because I don't think I fully understand it, even though I'm psyched.
Yeah, I think you're making up everything that you said about El Nino.
No, I think all that is true.
Mike is listening, so if you can call in next
help
week.
Us.
Yeah, Mike, you need to help us out here. Mm-hmm. We need help with El Nino, because I can't tell if the warmer air is going to make the balls go farther, which means more home runs, or less far, which means pitching and defense.
Mm.
But I think either way, it will have an effect. You watch. This will be a storyline throughout October.
Are you going to write all those stories, though?
Yes. And then I will come back, and I will laugh at the two of you in your faces.
We need a new podcast segment every week, El Nino Watch. And it's just silence for 30 seconds because El Nino didn't do anything.
Yeah,
I am
amazing.
An El Nino truther. Okay. Let us move in here to the last most important part of the podcast, where we take all of the moments that have come before and we condense them down into one bite-sized chunk. Yes, I am asking you to reduce our podcast into 140 characters. One tweet that summarizes everything. Now, since you both did disastrously on the pop quiz.
We did.
I'll let you decide amongst yourselves who wants to go first, who wants to go second.
I mean, I definitely did the worst, so I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, I have a pretty good tweet.
Go ahead. If you already have one, go for it.
Go for it, Ian.
Yeah.
Okay, when I said it was pretty good, that might have been
overstatement. You can't walk it back now. You gotta
go.
Okay. Yeah.
You know who actually has the longest postseason drought? El Nino.
Yes!
Hashtag forecast.
Retweet. Make new accounts so I can retweet it more than once. This is the best
tweet. You've been banned from Twitter now.
That's so good.
Okay, Gemma, what do you got? What's
your
tweet?
Oh, it's not nearly as good as that. Okay, at Dakota Gardner.
Wow.
Dot at Dakota Gardner thinks the best part of the postseason is the cold. We're okay. We have our hashtag postseason spice lattes.
Retweeted also.
Yes.
That's good. Okay. I see where this is going. I will lean in and I will do it my way.
Here we go.
Here we go. What will I remember from 2015? The rookies, period. Cold weather baseball, period. El Nino, period. Hashtag cup forecast.
Blocked and reported for spam.
If you, listening, have a tweet that better summarizes this podcast in 140 characters, and you absolutely do this week, please tweet it at us with the hashtag cut forecast. We are, of course, at cut4. That's where you can find us. If you follow us there on Twitter, at cut4, you'll see all of the articles that we produce day in and day out. You can read them. You can share them with your friends. You can comment on them. You can email them to us and tell us how much you hated them. Whatever it is, you'll have access to us that way. MLB.com/cut4 is our homepage. You can bookmark that if you, like me, surf the internet like it's 1995. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. While you're there, you can write us a review. You can rate us 1 to 5 stars. You can send the URL of that podcast to your friends. Tell them to listen to it. Tell them it was hysterical and awesome, and you learned all about El Nino on the podcast. And we'll thank you for doing that, obviously, because we ultimately, we put this out just because we think you enjoy it, and we are pleased if you are able to share it with your friends and tell them how much you enjoyed it. And I enjoyed talking to the two of you this week.
Thanks, Dakota.
Thanks.
Wow. So it sounds like you also enjoyed talking to me this week.
Always a pleasure.
It is, because Dakota... You are lovely and talented.
Oh, wow. And it took a whole year, but I finally got the lovely and talented thing. That's really... Guys, thank you so much. Thank you for being here all season. The 2015 season is now over, so I just wanted to say thanks for that.
The podcast is not over, though. We're going to keep
doing
this.
We're going to keep doing this,
but since the season is over, I just wanted to thank you. We'll be going throughout the postseason and even throughout the off season, so you could definitely subscribe and listen to all of that. But thank you, Ian, for being here yet again. Gemma, thank you for being here as always.
I'm always here for you.
And thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.